As a business leader, you know attracting top talent is just the beginning. Real growth happens when you lead yourself and others well. Creating a company culture that attracts, nurtures, and retains the best of all things. We'll teach you how to make an impact through a holistic leadership approach. Reframing success in leadership. This is the Talent Magnet Institute podcast with your host, Mike Sipple Jr.
Thank you for joining us this week with the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. I have the distinct pleasure today of welcoming Priya Klosik to the studio. Priya has been a longtime friend of myself. I've had the pleasure of interacting with her and being inspired by her talks and her encouragement throughout the years. She's the president and CEO of Consulting on the Go and a board member of Women Helping Women. Priya, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So Priya, I have really over probably a decade that we've interacted with one another. And I've always been one, you have such an inspiring personality and an energy level that's contagious, which is what we all need with the consultants that we engage and the leaders that we surround ourselves with. But you have such a focus on people and helping people understand people better and helping us really lean into, call it organizational performance, but at the end of the day, it's what we talk a lot here at the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. It's about relationships.
Absolutely.
Right? We enhance relationships, then we enhance our work, our community, and the life that we live. So thank you for your leadership and encouragement.
My pleasure. I feel like it's a privilege. I get to do what I do every day.
That's wonderful. Well, let's dive into the topic about, you know, we hear a lot about cultural competency. We hear a lot about gender equity. Mm-hmm. We hear quite a bit about, we're all trying to get better in that space, but there's still people who don't quite understand what all of that means, how we're unpacking it, why we're unpacking it. And for those listening, the Talent Magnet Institute podcast really came about by us having discussions with leaders like Priya in the marketplace, and like Janet Reed in the marketplace, and like Crystal Kendrick in the marketplace, and Jonathan Theaters and Steve Schiffman, and looking back at those discussions and saying, wow, what if we could bring this type of powerful dialogue to hundreds and thousands of people to help inspire them in their journeys as much as we get inspired, we can bring that to a broader group. So let's talk about these topics that our communities abroad, the nation, the world are wrestling with. Our community here in Greater Cincinnati, Ohio is certainly trying to be a leader in this space. And the organizations around us are setting up a lot of the right groups and the right dialogues and creating people, what we say, helping us get more comfortable being uncomfortable. And you and I have talked about that. So can you kind of set up some framework for us in these areas?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting, as you say, we do live in interesting times. And I know that's a kind of a summary of a quote by Mark Twain. But I think part of it, as we think about setting up the context, I think as leaders especially, often what happens is we look at things from our perspective, right? And we're often asked to lead others through different events, different journeys, different individuals for that matter. And what can happen often is we don't recognize that everybody's perspective is not the same. And so my work really revolves around first recognizing who you are as an individual. What drives you? What are you passionate about? Why do you get out of bed every day? Why do you do what you do? Other than it pays the bills, right? What's the why for you? And once you recognize really your perspective, your worldview, that's when it becomes easier to show up authentically, but then to lead authentically. And as we talk about where we are today as a community, as a nation, I think that's a big piece of it is living authentically doesn't mean that if my being authentic is going to hurt you, then I'm just going to say to you, Mike, I'm being authentic. You're being too sensitive. It's recognizing how my authenticity can impact and influence others around me, both positively and negatively for that matter.
In the discussions I was sharing with you before we hit record today that, you know, recently I've had so many discussions with organizations, executive teams, where they share their concerns about the cultures and the organizations that they're leading. And you start looking at the things they express and you peel back. These are really communication topics, right? And so I know it took me several years into my career to understand that crucial confrontation, crucial conversations, managing conflict, leaning into conflict is what we should do and have a moral obligation to do. Right. Versus how do we avoid it, right? And so many leaders, there may be some listening today that are sitting in their seat going, yeah, I'm avoiding conflict all around me. Mm-hmm. And what work do you do? What work have you seen done to help move leaders forward and organizations forward in that way?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point around communication. I think, you know, here we are today attached to all these devices and connected to people around the globe. Yet we feel like we're missing out on communicating with each other. So is it really true communication? Or are we just putting sound bites out there or, you know, liking things on Facebook or any other social platform we may use? You know, in my experience, when we think about conflict, it often ties into, or even just communication, it often ties into really our culture and how and what we were taught about conflict, right? So a lot of us, depending on, again, where we grew up, what our worldview is, could have come from the mindset that conflict is a bad thing. You know, you're just supposed to deal with it, ignore it, and move on. And if you think generationally, we did have, you know, a time where no news was good news, right? Because it was a way of communicating. Like, if I don't talk to you, you're doing great. If there's an issue, I'll come talk to you. And all of that has shifted. And so when I work with leaders or organizations, it's often first recognizing, what is your relationship to conflict? Your personal relationship? What is your mindset? When you think about conflict, do you look at the conflict as a positive thing or do you look at it as a negative thing? Because believe it or not, there are some cultures around the globe that look at conflict as a positive thing. And in essence, what that really shows up behaviorally is, all right, Mike, I'm mad at you. We're going to duke it out. We're going to talk. We're going to put everything on the table. In the end, we're still going to respect each other. We're going to shake hands and we're going to continue to work with each other, right? And that's okay. It's a little storm and then everything will be all right. In other cultures, that would be looked at as total disrespect. So if we get to a place as a leader or as an organization, because organizational culture also has an impact on how conflict is dealt with, especially within organizations. And so I think if we first recognize what our preferences are, why are these my preferences, even just looking at conflict and communication, then it allows me to say, okay, now who's on my team? Who am I working with every day? And is their conflict style or communication style similar or different to me? Because what happens is we look at only ourselves, right? So naturally, again, our brain is wired to look for comfort. Our brain does not like to be uncomfortable. Mm. So what do? We tend to surround ourselves with people that are more like us, or we minimize differences. So when we minimize differences, it becomes one of those elements where conflict is one of the things we don't want to talk about. Because if I talk about it, then I got to deal with it.
I know in episode 19 with Dr. Janet Reed, we discussed the psychological framework and the way that our brains and our hearts are constructed mm-hmm. is to find things that seem normal to us and create comfort in those normalcies. Yeah. And then those things that are different, our body responds, our minds respond, and immediately it's different. So mm-hmm. I need to be aware of that. Yes. My heightened awareness of differences, that's just a natural protection barrier that we're trying to work through. As we have, you talked about seeing the ways and understanding our own upbringings and the way that we respond to conflict. How do you encourage individuals to identify where they are in that? What are some steps they can take to draw that out?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, for me, when I do this work, I truly look at it through the lenses of, in every relationship, we are the common denominator, right? So first, if we recognize that, I mean, we know that in essence, but do we really acknowledge it and accept it? But if I'm walking around, so let's pick today, for example, and everybody I connect with today is really irritating me and doing something to irritate me. And I spend the day like that, and I'm meeting 10, 12 people today. At the end of the day, I would hope, or even somewhere during the day, I would question myself and say, you know, you were the common denominator in every one of those interactions. So how much of it was you and how much of it was the other person? Right? And that other person could even be people we love, our family members, the folks we work with every single day, where we have a lot of mutual respect. And so first, I think that's a big element of it is how aware are you of your environment, how you're showing up, and the impact it's having. And I think that the other part of it really becomes is there are various tools out there. So one of the tools that I use is called the Intercultural Conflict Style Inventory. And it's a simple assessment that measures really what is your conflict style. And as you go through this process, this tool specifically, this inventory, looks at conflict and your communication style during conflict through the lenses of culture. And so, you know, when I talk about culture, culture is not so much based on your race or your ethnicity as much as it is how were you raised? What was the programming that was given to you when you were being raised, right? It's that collective programming. Mm-hmm. So it could be across your race and your ethnicity, but it could be your generation. It could be your religion. So culture is a broad term that we take all the dimensions of diversity and kind of put that umbrella on. Using the example of, I grew up in India in the 70s. And so as a girl, the messaging I received growing up in India in the 70s was very different than a girl growing up in the U.S. And now if I make it closer to the U.S., a girl growing up in the 70s in Cincinnati probably got a very different cultural indoctrination than a girl growing up in California in the 70s, right? So we may look the same, we may think we're the same, but there's those elements of culture. So communication and conflict have that umbrella on them. What did you see? Do I recognize what I saw growing up impacts me on how I show up today? So again, there are lots of different tools. There are some tools that are, you know, free tools that are available out there that you can find. But the cultural style inventory tool specifically adds that other dimension of how does my culture come into play? Mm-hmm. And what does it mean to me personally?
Mm-hmm. That's really, that self-awareness component is so critical for all of us. And in some cases, people feel locked up. They feel, you know, that nobody, I really either A, they're not leaning in to understand their own strengths and becoming self-aware because it's everybody else's problem. Right. To your point earlier, we need to reflect that. Is it everybody else's problem or am I the common denominator? Mm-hmm. And with that, how do we leverage the resources that are available to us through most organizations to understand our differences and to keep those right in front of us? I know we love to use the cloverleaf.me
yes.
tool. And for those listening, you can go to cloverleaf.me/talentmagnet if you're interested in learning more, because it allows us every week we get a few updates on myself.
Yeah.
As well as team members that we interact with and tips about communication styles. And it brings those assessments of self-awareness to you in real time.
Absolutely.
And I think we have to be more self-aware, but also reflecting on, well, how did I grow up, right? Mm-hmm. Growing up as a little girl in India in the 70s is different than growing up in California in the 70s or Greater Cincinnati or Oklahoma or England. And that's so culturally, there are differences of how we communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can just take that example and just go a little, make it closer to home for our listeners. If you grew up in Cincinnati, if you grew up on the east side or the west side, there's a cultural difference. Mm-hmm. There's a perspective. Or you grew up in Northern Kentucky. And what suburb of Northern Kentucky did you grow up? And that's part of where, you know, when we as leaders especially have these discussions around how do we manage, how do we coach, how do we develop and engage our talent, these are things that we need to be very mindful and aware of, because often we just kind of make the assumption that maybe if someone looks just like me, they are just the same. But the reality is there is no other person that is just like you. Hmm. Even our siblings, for that matter, that we might have grown up with in the same home, same religion, same everything, are not the same as us. There's similarities, but we're not the same. And it's no different in the corporate setting when we as leaders are looking to really engage our teams. And that's a big piece of it, that one size does not fit all. And so how do we adapt? How do we work with others? And the idea really with this conversation, Mike, is, at least from my perspective, it's not that just as a leader, we're always doing the adapting, right? So it's not like I'm saying, leaders, all you got to do is you can't be you. Just keep being everything everybody else needs you to. The hope is, if we are doing this in a cohesive manner, that our teams are adapting to each other. So the term that I often use in my work is called mutual adaptation. So it's not just you, the leader, adapting or the employee adapting because of the hierarchy. It's I'm adapting a little bit, you're adapting a little bit. And then we come up with a place where in between, we both feel heard. We both feel like it wasn't one conflict style that we used to solve a problem or the conflict. We kind of found a middle ground. Where, you know, I may get a little too expressive when I'm in a conflict and you are more emotionally restrained, but you don't look at my expression as being disrespect. You recognize that I am maybe more passionate or maybe I tend to be more loud than you do. That doesn't mean you can't coach me. It doesn't mean I can't tone it down. But then that's the part where we have to have those honest conversations.
Yeah. In episode 13 with Darren Mariner, we talked about why is communication between coworkers broken when they talk all the time? And it really makes what you just shared, if we're not communicating about this as a team, as an organization, and we're not, this is paramount to why we're disconnected, why we're not connecting with those around us.
A great connection, absolutely. And you know, at least my humble opinion, I think part of it is, again, our culture, our environment influences us. And I think partly what can happen for a lot of us is we try to become everything for everyone. And so that authentic voice kind of sits within us. And so, you know, if I don't feel comfortable as I work with you and saying, you know, Mike, when this happens, here's how I feel. You may not mean it that way, but here's how I'm feeling. Help me understand, right? I'm suddenly becoming vulnerable. And I'm being authentic. There's a risk in that because you may accept me for that or you may not accept me for that. And so partly what happens is when we don't get to that place of honest connections and we have what I like to call superficial connections, right? So we're friendly, but we're not really friends and we don't give each other real feedback. What can happen is on the surface, it may look like we are connecting, but we are connecting with each other at a very superficial level. So even going back to from a perspective of, as Dr. Reed talked about, you know, from a diversity and inclusion perspective, that, you know, the iceberg analogy, a lot of us have heard that, you know, we as human beings are kind of like icebergs. You can only see about 5 to 10% of us when you engage with each other. The real stuff that makes us who we are is below the waterline. So things like we're talking about today, right? My communication style, my thinking style, my culture, my religion, my political beliefs even. We don't get to see those. And so when we are operating at that only 5 to 10% level, then the results we get are not always real and authentic. So, you know, as leaders, I think it's also critical for us to show up authentically and show up in such a way that we recognize what our strengths are. I'm a firm believer of operating and focusing on your strengths and not dwelling on your weaknesses for that matter or your opportunity areas, but accepting them, right? So in essence, one of my messages often is, can you just get to a place where you accept who you are first? Because if as a leader, I don't accept myself and I'm constantly having an internal battle and now I'm leading a team of 60 people that are diverse in their own way, maybe dealing with some issues of not accepting themselves as much either because there are some strengths that are looked at in a negative way, then how are we going to all show up and build that strong relationship, that engagement, and do what we need to do for our clients and our stakeholders?
Yeah. Priya, as you share that, I'm thinking through, one, the importance of this self-awareness and owning and accepting who you are and allowing that to not define your past, but allow you to enable you to go get the best you for the future. But also thinking of all the organizations as an organizational consultant that I've interacted with, that you can feel it permeate, that the individuals at the executive level are stuck. And therefore, everyone around them believes they should retrench and be stuck too, right? And that 5 to 10%, that's below suboptimal. What are some of the tangible things that our listeners could do today for themselves or the teams and organizations they lead to start moving towards 45% knowledge or 70% knowledge? Or what are some key steps that organizations could take?
You know, I think that's a great question. You know, so just at a very high level, some practical tips would be, you know, the first thing is, do you really recognize what drives you? What drives your behavior as a leader? The more you understand yourself and your behavior, and by the way, understanding doesn't mean you're perfect. Right. So I often joke, I show up authentically. I show up as me, but trust me, I can make a list of things I could do differently. Right. We all can. So accepting yourself and being aware of who you are, what you believe, and why you believe what you do doesn't mean you start judging it and doesn't mean you're perfect and your worldview is perfect. It's a data point. And you recognize that, you know what, this is kind of my benchmark. So one of the things I talk quite a bit about is that we all have a benchmark. And that benchmark is driven by our values, our beliefs, our culture, our education, our titles, all those wonderful things. But when something happens, we immediately go to our benchmark and say, is this good? Is this bad? Is this respect? Is this disrespect? So first, recognize your benchmark, right? Like own it. Don't judge your own benchmark, because for some of us, we find our benchmark and then we judge it. But just own it. Mm-hmm. It's just what has made you who you are. You can write new stories. Mm-hmm. You can recreate things. But you got to own it first. What has made you who you are today? Once you've gotten to a place where you feel good about it, whether it's how you communicate, how you lead, what's your worldview about leadership? Are you a servant leader? Are you more authoritarian? Like, just understand that.
Just knowledge.
Yeah. Absolutely, the knowledge. And it's the awareness too. Because I think sometimes most of us kind of walk around subconsciously, not awake. Like, we just go through the motions. So becoming more aware and awake about it. And from there, then getting to a place of, now look around you. Look at your teams. Look at your community. And become curious. And let's be honest, in our environment, being curious can be a little, I don't know if daunting is the right word, but it can be unnerving. Because what happens if your curiosity, a question you ask, you don't get the reaction you were hoping for, right? Because we're all afraid to offend someone. And so one of the things I learned from a great mentor about 20 plus years ago was, when you want to be curious or you want to understand something, don't tell the person that you feel is not being clear as, well, I don't understand you. Like, what's wrong with you? Make it about yourself. And the phrase that has stuck with me for 20 plus years is, help me understand. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's about being curious, but saying, you know what? You're probably being just as clear as you need to be, or you think I should know this, but I'm not sure if I am getting it. So help me. And most of us are very open to helping others. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not about the fact that you're not communicating effectively. It's, I'm not getting you. Mm-hmm. So help me. And so, you know, becoming curious and then getting to a place where you're open to the feedback. Because, you know, when you start looking around and you start asking those questions and becoming curious, you may start to get feedback either from others or patterns of behavior you may notice that you may not always appreciate or care for.
That's right? Wonderful.
Right? Because we all have blind spots.
Yeah. So I just captured, do you recognize what drives you? Accepting yourself and why you believe what you believe. Understanding, recognizing, and owning your benchmark. Mm-hmm. Awareness of style, knowledge of style, and how you look at the world. Becoming curious, which includes help asking the question, help me understand, which is a wonderful question.
Thank you.
And then being very open to feedback. Mm-hmm. And those seven steps, I think, could absolutely change the way we operate and interact with one another. And should, you know, and we'll put these in our show notes as well.
That'd be great.
And I think this is certainly an area that we all can improve upon and all should want to improve upon each and every day of our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you outlined these seven steps, it's not always about the organizations we're aligned to, right? It's us, even as individuals in our community, going back to as you started us off, mm-hmm. in the work we're doing, in engaging with our kids, engaging with our neighbors. I mean, these are principles that can apply to every aspect mm-hmm. of our life. And I mm-hmm. think at least, you know, if we show up authentically ourselves, the power in that, of just being who you are and not wanting to minimize or hide what makes you who you are. And sometimes it's tough because what makes me who I am might be very different than the majority group that I'm sitting with. And so am I comfortable with that? Am I comfortable being who I am with the gifts and the talents that I have or that I can bring to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. And this would be a topic of going deeper, right? I think there's certain components of things that we've heard, we've read, but this is really getting deeper into that. And I think this unlocking mm-hmm. the ability for anyone listening to be able to say, you know what, that is who I am. Every time I ask the question, I frame it wrong, but it's not because I'm in disagreement. I just mm-hmm. see it differently than someone might. And maybe people don't understand me. And the more we can communicate some of these things to our team and reveal the 15%, the 25%, the more knowledge they have, and you may actually get invited to conversations mm-hmm. because of your different view or different perspectives. This is where you really unlocking the resources that are given to you and given to your team to understand better and bring the whole team together, right? Because some of these differences our organizations need. Some of these differences we need. We need to look at things. I've had experiences in my life where, you know, I never realized that the way that I communicate mm-hmm. is completely different than the way someone else communicates. Yeah. And we're just missing each other. I remember that revelation I had probably 7 years ago on a certain topic and with a certain assessment tool that I thought in my heart of hearts, this was me just speaking with passion and me ready to go. And the other individual heard it completely mm. different. And it overwhelmed that individual to almost a crippling effect mm. that didn't even know how to come back to me with a response because was afraid to offend me until we had this discussion of, oh, so we're just basically missing each other every time we talk, right? You're shooting here, yeah. I'm shooting here, and we're missing each other. And I really am appreciative to, this is where assessments, that was a particular assessment.
Absolutely.
We're not a big fan of assessments as it relates to pure recruitment, mm-hmm. but we are a huge fan of assessments as it comes to understanding those around you and yourselves more effectively.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, to your point around even just going back to as we assess ourselves, you know, there's so many different ways of getting there, whether it's you're looking at your strengths, using the strengths finder, whether it's you're looking at your personality, using tools like the Myers-Briggs, using tools like DISC. Again, those are all tools that shouldn't define you, but they can inform you. And I think that's the big piece of it. So, you know, even as our listeners might be hearing us share these different tools, we all have opinions about assessments. You know, so my approach really often is don't get hung up on the tool that you use or what the data in the tool is as much as what can you draw from it? If you're honest with yourself, what correlations can you make with what the tool is sharing with you? And, you know, as leaders, I think that's a big, big piece for us is, you know, how do we continue to up our skills and competencies to be able to continue to lead our teams? And that's a big piece of it because, again, my humble opinion, we're never, ever quite done. And I know you've heard me say this, I'm just as perfect today as I was meant to be. When my time is up, I'm going to be just as perfect as I was meant to be that day, right? And that's all we can do, but I think it's just being open and aware is the first big piece.
I think the other piece you just referenced with the assessments, we also need to be careful because when we reveal assessments to our team and to ourselves and to our employees, there's certain things where someone may find mm-hmm. that, well, you're a high in this quadrant right. may actually be something that individual's been trying to work on.
Yes.
And you may start, if you're not careful with the right evaluator or the right person to reveal the assessment results, we may say something jokingly mm-hmm. who could affect and impact someone in a negative way.
Absolutely.
And we have to be very careful with that. I have found that over the years that even with myself, you know, I'm a high D, high I, creative. For many years, I was just a high D, like off the charts. When you're a high D, there's a statements that come with that,
of
right?
Of course.
And I had to work through that I don't want that to define right. me. And I want to understand my strengths, but I also need to understand where my strengths can become weakness. And I need to work as a leader to be a better communicator, to be a better listener, to not come off as pure D. And sure enough, we changed the results to be a high DII.
There you go. We all are a work in progress.
We're all a work in progress. And I think, you know, again, there's free assessments out there, like the VIA Character Strengths is a great tool. I know we've used an assessment called Lion's Lead, which is a very intense tool out of Indianapolis. It's been extremely helpful in our succession planning and ongoing development. The Enneagram, there's a tool that we've utilized called the Hartman Values Assessment, which again helps you understand how our values align or do not align. So lots of different tools, and I'm sure that many of you listeners have other resources that you might even be willing to provide with to Priya and I as we continue to learn what tools to bring to those that we serve. So we're talking about the topic of understanding, building better communications, creating, understanding the common denominators that we all have while valuing our differences and our the way we were brought up and our upbringings, how that impact. When you look at a lot of this, how does change management come into effect with this? If I'm leading an organization?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, change management can be applied and used across various platforms for that matter. And what I mean by that is, I think partly first we have to look at who the audience is, right? Is this truly an organizational cultural shift? And if it is, then the steps might be a little different, but especially as we have this conversation, focusing on the listeners and our leaders in essence, or even if you're an individual contributor for that matter. You know, anytime we embark on a journey of development, if you're truly going to follow through, it requires change. And it requires some form of change management in play. And really what it is do you first recognize what your motivation level is? You know, and again, there's lots of research out there earlier as I talked about the comfort part, right? And going back to even Dr. Reed's podcast, that, you know, if we are truly biologically designed to want comfort, how many of us would embark on a journey that will require change? There's a significant of us, but then we know there's a probably a lot of us listening even today that we are aware of some changes we may need to make, but we may not have the desire or the motivation to do something about it. Whether it's I need to break a habit or I need to form a habit, I'm aware of it. I may even go out and get knowledge, right? So I may read a book, I may go take a class, I may listen to a podcast, right? So I'm taking in the knowledge. But then when I move on to the next thing, what happens to the knowledge that I have? Is it showing up in my behavior? And so that's where change management comes in. Knowledge and awareness alone doesn't impact our behavior. What impacts our behavior at an individual level first, and you can apply this even with your teams at an organizational level, is the ability. And ability really is the place where you take the knowledge and you put it into action, right? So as you shared the seven steps that we outlined, you know, so somebody listening in might jot them down or print out the notes that we put out there. The question then becomes, what do you do with those notes? Do you create an action plan? Do you immediately go to your calendar? If you're like me and you live by your calendar or Outlook in your task format, do you go in and create a task immediately that says, here's what I'm trying to change. Here's the knowledge I just got. I'm going to go put that on my calendar and I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to plan it out and I'm going to map it out that once a week, and I'm not good at this today and I want to get better at it, but once a week, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to go check in with every member on my team, just checking in on how they're doing, how their life is. Maybe I need to put a reminder on my calendar and make it a reoccurring meeting that shows up. Now that you've now put some actions in place with it. So you may not think it's change management, but believe it or not, that's change management at play. And once you do that a couple times, it then allows you to make it a habit. And, you know, so again, research shows that for us to make a habit, it takes anywhere from 21 days. And some will tell you it takes 3 cycles of 21 days to make a habit, right? So again, or change a behavior in essence is what we're also trying to do. And so that's the critical component that, again, if our listeners are moved by anything and choose to want to take this to the next level, just listening and processing may not give you the results. Mm-hmm. Identify one thing that you want to take away today, for example, as you're listening to this podcast. What is that? Put it into action. Or go tell someone you want to do it. Find an accountability partner. And the idea really is that, you know, that ability component will then take you into the place where it becomes every day. So you now have created a new habit.
That's wonderful. Priya, thank you so much. To our listeners, we would encourage you to rate and leave a review of this episode, which helps us reach more listeners to have the opportunity to have impactful experiences through this podcast. And Priya, I thank you so much for leading well in this space and encouraging others. You have such an encouraging demeanor when you deliver this message, and I hope that all who engage you feel that as well. Thank you for caring like you do. I know we also talked a little bit about that you're also serving on the mentor board of the Queen City Certified. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Queen City Certified came out of People's Liberty, the Hale Foundation. And the fellow that won the grant this year started this initiative called Queen City Certified, which focuses primarily on getting organizations certified in being more gender equitable. So it's basically a gender equity certification. Mm-hmm. And so the organizations, we just had 9 organizations in Cincinnati that have been Queen City certified just in the last month. Mm-hmm. And these 9 organizations went through a process where they looked at their internal policies, they looked at their internal procedures, they looked at things like maternity policy, paid time off, looked at, in some organizations, there's multiple layers of certifications. And if they're trying to get to the gold, they even did some gender equity pay level analysis, for that matter, to see how are we truly in the space of gender equity. And so we've had, as I said, 9 organizations, a handful of local nonprofits that have gotten certified, and a really large local law firm that also went through the certification. And because of this certification, they're now starting to go back in and make some systemic changes in their policies and procedures and practices to make their organizations more gender equitable. Hmm. So that women, for example, don't have a bigger hardship when it comes to taking maternity leave as compared to their male counter colleagues. So, and this certification, just as I share about it, is the first of its kind in the U.S.
Wow.
And it's been modeled around some work that's being done in countries like Norway and in Sweden. So some exciting things that are happening in Cincinnati. And, you know, Queen City Certified is a great program. We're in the middle of our second program right now, second cohort, I should say. Hmm. And then we're taking some names and getting a list ready for the spring cohort.
That's wonderful. So we will include that in our show notes as well. For those listening, you can go to queencitycertified.org and learn more about this wonderful organization, Priya. And thank you for leading. Thank you for everyone who's involved in that organization, leading in the space that you're leading with gender equity and encouraging organizations to really, some organizations may not know what that means,
yeah.
Right? So this is a great step to, again, become more self-aware as a organization relating to your policies and the way that you lead and operate. And so thank you also for the education that you're bringing to the marketplace and hopefully to the nation and the world.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again today for joining us with the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. Priya, thank you for being here with us and for all of your time and your insights and your energy.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Having a high turnover in your organization doesn't just nibble away at your resources. It totally consumes them. Discover 8 huge factors that directly affect your turnover rates and what you can do about them at talentmagnetinstitute.com/turnover factors.
The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is powered by Centennial, a talent strategy and executive search firm, and the Talent Magnet Institute. You can engage with us at Talent Magnet I on Twitter or Talent Magnet Institute on LinkedIn and Facebook. Please communicate by using hashtag Talent Magnet. Find us in your favorite podcast app to subscribe, rate, and leave a review, as well as share with a colleague. You can also listen at talentmagnetpodcast.com. Our podcast studio is based in Greater Cincinnati, Ohio.
We are supported by our listeners, clients, and partners from all over the world. The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is made possible by a great team that includes Janelle Spence and Christine Lewis of Centennial, Josh Chappelle and Adam Smith of Soundpress, produced by Chris Madine of New Fidelity Studios, and Audra Casino and Megan Doherty of One Stone Creative. Music written by DJ Corbett and Chris Madine. And myself, your host, Mike Sipple Jr. Thank you for joining us on the journey of developing leaders to succeed in relationships, work, community, and life, reframing success in leadership.